Look, it's a good piece on Vox about surge pricing, about dynamic pricing. That shit is so much more prevalent throughout the economy than people realize. It is wild, though. I think it is very telling as well to see, like, to see Wendy's flirt with it. It shows that there's so much kind of like this mask off confidence in corporate America right now, where like you can assassinate whistleblowers, you can be a fast food place and be like, we're going to do surge pricing on y'all. Like there's so much mask off confidence in corporate America right now. Like it's just it's leading to like, I mean, stuff that has already been happening, you know. It ain't the first time some big, giant multinational defense contractor has assassinated people. It ain't the first time a banana company, you know, assassinated entire villages of people in South America who were standing in their way. Like this shit's been happening, but it does seem and you know, surge pricing as well. Like, you know, Amazon. Amazon did this little experiment for a few years where it changed prices millions of times a day for products on its website, which it claims to not be doing anymore, while also saying that they made an extra $1 billion in revenue according to FTC estimates through this automated pricing process, which again, Amazon says they no longer do it. I don't believe that. But that is what they say. You don't just leave $1 billion on the table. There's an example in the Vox website or Vox article. In 1999, Coca-Cola tested but did not roll out vending machines with prices that would rise as the temperatures did. So the higher the temperature, the higher the price for nice, cool, refreshing Coca-Cola. Our friends over at Trash Future, one of their startups for an episode was also this. It was a vending machine that is like profiling people using it and then like adjusting prices accordingly. So this shit has been there for a very long time. But it does seem like there's a little bit of an overconfidence with corporations being like, y'all just can take it. You know, we're gonna do it in public. We're gonna do it right in your face, and you just gotta take it.
You know, I'm interested because the article kind of waves through this pretty quickly. But I am curious how long these experiments with dynamic pricing have been going on, not just like loudly announced ones with table service, right? Because with the advent and the mass proliferation of QR codes, it's been a bit harder for people to anticipate price changes and keep track of them. And I don't think it's particularly hard to do dynamic pricing through a QR code that's even hard-coded to schedule, let alone based on like you're using the QR code to map out how many people are present, how many people are in the party. You know, you integrate that with whatever data that the host is able to accumulate when they're setting people down, and you'd have like a pretty easy way to like modify prices. So I'm curious, like, you know, I think that kind of, the end of the piece kind of is like, well, you know, yeah, people might accept it, but they might push back against it. But I'm also like, how much of it is already baked into people's acceptance that they don't even realize it? And if they did realize it, would they accept that? Would they just go, oh, wow, I guess that's why things have been a bit more expensive? Or would they like kind of freak out? Because I imagine if you're going to the grocery store, you're going to freak out a little bit. You know, the surge pricing takes something that you would expect to be just like a basic measure of health in the economy, and now attaches it to like even more capricious, greedy corporations and their actions, you know, and they're definitely not going to like price it at a fair price for you. They're going to do it because they're all freaking out about the fact that they are still not at pre-pandemic levels for revenue or for traffic or for, you know, profit margins, right? So variable pricing and perfection pricing, as that Columbia Business School professor puts it, you know, is seen as like a golden path to get back to okay, we hit 2019 levels and we're growing at pre-pandemic rates again.
Yeah, I can't remember who said it, but it was a good tweet that I saw on my feed where it was basically saying that like the only thing, and this is a little a teaser for what's to come later in the episode, but the tweet was like the only thing AI is going to do is keep the dream of 3% growth going for the next decade, right? And then like and then it's going to level off and then that's it, right? Like, and that really is ultimately like the only thing capital and capitalism can kind of keep going is this like dream of like consistent 3% growth year over year, like in the like economy wide, and like I feel like that's and we never see like what does growth actually mean. You know, usually it just means like, you know, in terms of like the measures are like GDP, right? But like that's not a measure of like equity. It's not a measure of it's not even a measure of productivity. It is more of a measure of like how much can companies keep like squeezing out of people? How many like corners can they cut? How much blood can they squeeze from the stone? Oh, look, there's even more blood in this stone than I realized because, AI gave us a tool to optimize our squeezing pattern for more and more blood came out. You know, like that's really the way that's so much of the like quote unquote growth right now. And I think like, what we're seeing here is when profits start to stall, or God forbid, when they start to go down, then you see companies like be incentivized to start doing stuff that was always there, always an option to them, but they never had the incentive to invest in it or to roll it out. And that's what like the surge pricing, right? Like, you know, this is what we've talked about with grocery stores you know, a few episodes ago. You know, a lot of grocery stores are starting to experiment with and install electronic shelf labels. You know what those are really good for? Effortlessly changing prices for thousands of products at the click of a button, you know, or automating the change of prices so that it's like according to supply chain or according to time of day or according to the weather outside or according to the number of people in the store, right? Like all these like parameters that you would think never affected price because price was this like stable thing affected by a kind of a constrained and knowable number of factors. Now, this is what machine learning does. Machine learning blows that up by eliminating any like kind of knowable or reasonable causality between the variables and parameters that lead to an outcome, and also expanding the number of variables and parameters and the weights and so on to include all kinds of seemingly irrelevant and absurd things. And it's like that magic is you know, that magic is what people want to bring to the pricing of everyday goods.